morning, and I'm grateful to the school for a talk about halachic and ethical issues. Just a quick survey. How many of you have actually tried out ChatGPT? Okay. That's basically almost everybody in the room. And, you know, I've tried it out also. It's a lot of fun. I haven't used it really for information, but I've used it for its creative side. I asked it to write a poem about the difference between, a poem about Moshe as a Jew or as an Egyptian. And it came up with a very nice poem. I asked it for a Dvar Torah about a Gematria connection. It was like very interesting stuff. And which maybe I'll talk about if I have more time in my 7 minutes, but I don't think so. I'm burning it right now. Yeah, I've talked about the ethics of AI with various kinds of professionals, with doctors, with lawyers, with investment advisors, and there are some great issues that come up. Example, is it all right for an investment advisor, someone who's supposed to be giving people advice about their investments and managing them for them, to use an AI, what's called a robo-advisor, in order to handle the investments and not tell the client? So you charge the client as though it's you doing the work, but in fact the computer is the one doing the work. That would be one example. Or asking the client, are you okay if the robo-advisor does this? Not asking the client, just going ahead and doing it. Another type of a question, what if you use the robo-advisor and the robo-advisor manipulates the markets in the way that it buys and sells and causes terrible destruction? So are you responsible for the destruction that the robo-advisor created? Or you're a doctor, and you have an AI that's useful in diagnosis, and the AI reads the x-rays or the CT scan or whatever it is and comes out with a diagnosis, but you, with your 20 or 30 years of experience, feel like, you know, that doesn't feel right. I think that that's actually wrong. I think this is the diagnosis. Do you follow your instinct? Or do you follow what the AI tells you? There are a lot of fascinating ethical questions that are emerging. And the question that I was asked to address this morning is the question of a student submitting an essay that was written by ChatGPT under their own name. And I feel like you can actually view that the same way that you analyze the other professional questions, the questions for the doctor, the questions for the lawyer, the question for the investment advisor, because students are professionals also. You have investors, right? Who are the investors? No, your parents, right? They're the ones who are putting in the money. They're the ones who are feeding you. They're the ones who are paying tuition. You have coworkers and competitors. Those are? Right. Those who are all around you. You have bosses. That will be the teachers, right? They're the ones who give you the assignment and decide whether you succeeded or not. And all of these different relationships and roles are affected by what you do with the AI. So if a student in fact submits an essay using ChatGPT under their own name. So the most obvious harm that's caused is you're lying, right? It's called sheker. We are not allowed to deceive people. We're not allowed to lie. And it's a lie to, obviously, your boss, meaning your teacher. It is a lie to your peers, your coworkers slash competitors who are amazed by your quality of work and the grade you got. It is a lie to the parents who are the investors. And it's a lie in the future to the university you're going to apply to or the employer who's going to see your GPA and be really, really impressed at the grade that ChatGPT got for you. So, just on a very basic level, it's an issue of falsehood that harms all of these relationships. But beyond that, there's another issue. When you are a managing partner in an investment, meaning somebody gives you money and says, I want you to invest this for me, you have an ethical obligation, a halachic obligation to do as they asked. In the event that somebody gives you money and says, invest this for me, and instead you stick it in a closet, you're violating a halacha called mevatel kiso shel chavero. You're taking that person's money, and instead of using it to get them a return, you're throwing it in the closet. That's a problem. And in particular here, because you are the managing partner in your parents' financial investment, at least in the case where you throw it in the closet, you can give it back to them at the end. In this case, they're never getting the tuition dollars back. And they didn't get the result that they wanted, which is for my child to actually learn something. So you've damaged their investment. That's a second level to this. A third level to this involves your coworkers slash competitors, all the students who are sitting around you. You know what PEDs are? What are PEDs in sports? Right, performance-enhancing drugs, right? Steroids and so on, right? So in sports, generally speaking, they are illegal. Why are they illegal in sports? Why isn't that up for each competitor to decide what they want to do? Why is it cheating if it's legal? Make it legal and it's not cheating. So one reason it's illegal is because it's bad for you. They're worried about athletes who are competing taking these drugs in order to get a better result and harming their bodies in the short and long term. But another reason why it's not allowed in sports is because of the pressure it creates for your competitors. Because if you're using them and they're not, you're going to do better, right? Baseball's the easy example. You can hit way more home runs than they can, and the result is that they're going to feel like they have to do it too. You create pressure on them to make a terrible decision for themselves. And the same thing is true in terms of use of ChatGPT. If you turn in a great essay without doing any work, and the guy at the next desk knows you didn't do any work, and you did this, and you got a great grade, and they slaved over it, and they didn't get a good grade, you create a temptation for them to go that route for themselves. And that's called lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. We are not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of others, even if they know it's wrong. Still not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to create pressure on others to do something that is bad for themselves, because now as a result of this, they're not going to learn. Last point. The harm that you do for yourself. We have a prohibition in the Torah against harming ourselves. That means harming ourselves physically. That means harming ourselves financially. That means harming ourselves intellectually. We're not allowed to do things that harm ourselves. And in the case of ChatGPT, and I think Mr. Rapp is going to talk about this more, we harm ourselves in terms of the intellectual skills that we're supposed to be picking up. And I'm not talking about gaining information now. I'm talking about the fact that the most useful skills that you can gain in high school, from my perspective, are organizing your thoughts, writing well, and working hard. And in the event that something else is writing your essay for you, you lose out because you're going to go out into the world and you're not going to be able to do well in college unless you, again, use this in university. You won't be able to hold a job because you never learned these basic habits because you thought it was smarter to use ChatGPT. So the result is that you harm yourself. Bottom line for me on this is that it's a very entertaining thing and it even can be useful. But to use it to for your essay, number one, putting your name on work you didn't do, obviously wrong as a matter of lying to everybody around you. It's a matter of frustrating the investment your parents are making in trying to get to help you to learn what you need to succeed in life. It is a matter of creating pressure on your classmates to make decisions that are bad for them. And fundamentally, it's harm for yourself because you're not going to pick up the skills that you need to pick up.